in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said? What more can He say to you than He has said? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing more that we need to hear while we're here on earth. There's nothing more that we could understand with our human minds while we're here on earth. His word is truth. It's not just true, it is truth. It is the fullest representation that God Himself could give of His own being so that we might know and love Him. So as we open His word this morning to John chapter 15, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we're thankful that You live within us, that You are the Spirit of truth. And we ask that You teach us truth this morning, the truth that each of us need to hear, need to learn, need to obey. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory. Amen. There are many pictures of the Christian and the Christian life in the New Testament. The one of the vine and branches is probably the favorite of many of us. It's especially meaningful to me. As I told you last week, I coached out here at Wenatchee Valley College back in the 60s, in early 70. And in 1971, when we were trying to decide if the Lord wanted us to stay in that job and doing what we were doing, or if He wanted us to go to Bible school, I was having a real tough time making a decision. My wife would ask me about every other day, do you know yet? No, this goes on for months, okay? So finally, I asked the Lord to show me directly from His word whether He wanted us to go or to stay. Do you want us to go to a Bible school somewhere, or do you want us to stay here at Wenatchee Valley College? I searched the scriptures for weeks. I couldn't find Dwayne or Lebo anyplace. It came down to the point where I needed an answer by tomorrow morning. It was a Sunday. We were at Sunday evening service. And while waiting for the service to start, I'm searching the scriptures. And I was reading John chapter 15. And just before the service begins, I read verse 16. You did not choose me or appoint you, but I chose you and appointed you to go. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go. That was my answer. So we went to Bible college. But while we were at Bible college down at now Corbin University, the pastor from Moody Church in Chicago spoke at a chapel. Dr. Wiersbe, Warren Wiersbe was his name, is his name. He's still alive, I believe. And his message had a tremendous impact on my life. He spoke on this passage. And he laid out in a single sermon the very basics of Christian living. And explained who I was and what I was to do for the Lord here on earth. I never forgot it. It has encouraged me all these years. And frankly, I go back to it often because it helps keep my life in balance for me. So I've borrowed Pastor Wiersbe's outline, kind of expanded a little bit into 5 or 6 messages rather than just one. And so I'm going to be using this as our text the next several Sundays. In the previous chapters of the gospel, in verses 13 and 14, the disciples learned, and we learn, that Jesus was going away. But he tells us we're going to heaven. He tells us that while we're here on earth, before we go to heaven, that we can know the Father and experience His love in a very personal way. He tells us that we'll have the Holy Spirit living in us when we trust Christ as our Savior. He tells us that we'll have a tremendous privilege in prayer of being able to personally go directly to God. And He tells us that through prayer and the Holy Spirit, we can receive all of the spiritual resources that we need here in this life. I mean, great stuff, huh? Praise the Lord. But there's a couple of things missing. And I'm sure in the disciples' mind, as well as in ours. Okay, Lord, that's great. But exactly what am I supposed to be and do for you while I'm still here on earth? And that's where chapter 15 comes in. That's where he gives us the answers. Remember, by this time, Judas has left. Jesus is now addressing only the 11 disciples who are faithful to him. He's only addressing believers. And he says to them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another. I title this series, Lessons from the Vineyard. And our lesson for this morning is simply this. The key to living is bearing fruit. The key to living the Christian life, the key to living the life that Jesus called the abundant life back in chapter 10, the key to living the life that Christ has prepared for you and given to you in full is bearing fruit. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so it'll bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Pretty clear, isn't it? What's on his mind for us is to bear fruit. That's what he's looking for. That's what your heavenly Father is looking for in your life. Why did God save you and leave you here on this planet? To bear spiritual fruit. Much fruit. More fruit. More fruit, both in terms of quantity and quality. The key to living abundantly is bearing fruit abundantly. The key to living is bearing fruit. This morning we're going to do just the first part of this lesson. And we're going to focus on three basic questions just to make sure we're all on the same page here. The first question is, what do each of the four elements in this passage represent? We got the vine, and we got branches, and we got the vine dresser, and we got fruit. What do those things represent here? Well, Jesus said, verse 1, I'm the true vine. He says it again in verse 5. So he is the true vine. Now remember, he's addressing just the 11 disciples who are his, who are faithful to him. He's addressing believers. And it's a truth that they will understand because they know vineyards. Cultivation of vineyards is critical to the life and economy of Israel. In the temple, within the architect of the temple, there's carvings of branches and vines. So it's a very symbol of the national life of Israel. They would know from the Old Testament that many times Israel was referred to as a vine. Just for example, Psalms 80, verses 8 through 10. The psalmist refers to Israel as a vine that God transported from Egypt into the land of Canaan, where it took deep root and spread throughout the land. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, wrote about Israel being a vineyard, that God had given the nation every benefit, expecting good fruit, but it was yielding only bad fruit, worthless fruit. In Deuteronomy 34, 52, Israel is referred to as a vine. In Jeremiah 2:21, it's interesting that earlier this same week, as we have John talking here in John 15, Jesus had told a parable to the disciples. And in that parable, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 5. He said, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. And when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine owners to receive his produce. The vine owners took his slaves and beat them and killed another and stoned a third. Again, he sent out the slaves larger than the first and did the same thing to them. But afterwards, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So this was just this week they had heard Jesus say this. So this whole idea was fresh on their minds. So it's clear to the disciples and to us, Jesus is saying he is the true vine, not Israel, not the nation of Israel, not the physical descendants of Abraham, not any other nation, including the Arabs, not any other religion, not any family or group of people. He is the true vine. All spiritual life flows from him. All that sustains that life flows from him. All that satisfies that life flows from him. All that is a spiritual success in life comes from him. He is the true, the original. All others claiming to be the vine are false. He alone is the life and the truth and the way. No one can come to the Father but through him. Period. Right? Now, society would just call you a bunch of bigots. They say you're intolerant, and they cannot stand intolerance. So you've just made yourself an enemy with the world. But it's the truth. It is God's truth. Jesus Christ is the true vine. Then there are the branches. Verse 5, "I'm the vine, you are the branches," he says to the disciples. And that applies to all true Christians. So you're a branch in a grape plant. Not a very big deal, is it? Grape branch doesn't amount to much. Doesn't have much strength. And what do you use the thing for? Well, you ladies use it for decorative stuff. But you don't use it to really, you know, build anything substantial that's going to last. So two questions. What is it that gives the branch strength and value? What is it gives you strength and value? The fact that you have a living connection or union with the vine. You have a living connection, a living union with the vine. The life of the vine, his life, Christ's life, flows through you. The awesome thing about being a Christian is that Jesus Christ gave you his life. He not only gave his life for you at the cross, but when you trusted him, he gave his life to you. His life flows in you. We have Christ living in us. Paul said it, "Christ lives in me." Now that's an astonishing statement. That is an astonishing statement. Christ lives. Christ, the Son of God, lives in me. I mean, that is so much more than being a religious person. That is so much more than being a person of faith. that we hear today. It's so much more than someone simply saying, I'm a Christian. It's so much more than being a good person and giving of themselves to help others. It is the all-victorious, risen, ascended Christ sharing His life with you, with me, with every believer by means of the indwelling Holy Spirit. God in you. God in me. Christianity is not a religion. Religion is a man-made thing. Christianity is Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, Christ dwells in us. We are complete in Him. We are complete. When you accept Christ, Christ lives in you. You don't need anything else. You don't need something else. You've got everything you need. You have Christ within you. In this same book in Colossians, Paul in verse 3 says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed. He says in the 11th verse of chapter 3, Christ is all and in all. That's incredible. Matter of fact, to be honest about it, it is a truth that is so enormous and glorious, it is very difficult for us to really wrap our minds around it, that Christ lives in me. We know that's what the Bible says, we believe it, but to really grasp that, Christ lives in me. Christian, we are living branches in the living vine, the true vine. Praise God? Praise God. I should hope so. Now, what does a branch do? Bears fruit. It bears fruit. Because of its living union with the vine, it bears the fruit of the vine. So the key to living the life that Jesus Christ has provided for us, that abundant life, we could call it normal Christian life, is bearing fruit. Spiritual fruit. Then we have the vine dresser. Maybe in your translation, it's the gardener. Or maybe it's the husbandman. But however, it's not talking about the hired help, okay? He's not talking about the guys out there in the vineyards that we see doing all the work. It's talking about the one who's in charge of the vineyard. The one who's in charge of seeing that the cultivating is done and the plants are protected. The vine dresser or the gardener or the husbandman is the one whose responsibility is to make certain that everything that can be done is done, to ensure a bumper crop, both in terms of quantity and quality. He's our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the vine. You're a branch because you have a living union with Him. Through the Holy Spirit, He lives in you. And your Heavenly Father is seeing to it that everything that He can do is done. to help and encourage you to bear fruit. Much fruit. More fruit. And Christian, the next time the enemy whispers in your ear and reminds you of your past failures, or suggest to you that nobody cares for you, or that you're unimportant, or tries to tell you you can't do anything for the Lord, or you find yourself consumed with worry or fear, stop. Think. I'm a branch. I am a branch in the true vine. Christ lives in me to strengthen me, to enable me to bear spiritual fruit for His glory. And my Heavenly Father is working and doing everything that can be done to help and encourage me bear fruit. For we know that all things work together for good. Right? For everybody? Not for everybody. I mean, you'll hear people on television that you know are not believers and they've had some big accidents or something. They'll say, well, we know this works for good. No, it doesn't. It works together for good for those who love God, those who are part of His family. And what did Jesus say in verse 16? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. That's His promise. And then the fruit. What the branch is to bear. What we are to bear. Spiritual fruit. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, I want to do a study on the various forms that fruit takes in the Bible so we understand now what we're talking about in the various forms. But this morning, I just want to kind of consider this in terms of what is fruit. Not the form, but just fruit itself. First of all, fruit is the visible evidence of life. Fruit is the visible evidence of life. Only a living organism can produce fruit. Fruit is what is produced as the life of the vine, the life of the plant, flows in and through its branches. Spiritual fruit is what is produced as the life of Christ, the vine, flows in and through us. So if you have a living union with Christ, there will be spiritual fruit. If you have a living union with Christ, there will be spiritual fruit. There will be some visible evidence to other people that you are who you say you are. Now, it may not be much. The evidence may be small. It may not be fully developed yet. But it'll be something there. When a grape plant bears fruit, when a branch bears fruit, everybody knows that's a grape plant, right? Now, I don't know, when I lived here before, there wasn't very many vineyards around this place. There were a lot of orchards. But I didn't know much about vineyards. I went to California. Visalia. Now, from Visalia, any direction you want to go, you're going to run quickly into a vineyard. I mean, they're all over the place. And so when we first go there, there's a guy taking us around and kind of showing us the country, and he starts educating me a little bit. He points out to this vineyard. He said, well, that's table grapes there. And to this one, that's raisin grapes in that vineyard. And in this vineyard over here, this is wine grapes. And so we're driving past the vineyard, and I said, okay, what kind of vineyard is that? And he said, well, or asked him, I said, what kind of grapes is in that vineyard? He said, well, that's not grapes. That's kiwi fruit. I said, it looks like grape vineyard to me. No, he said, when they are produced, you'll know it's not grapes. It's kiwi fruit. If Christ lives in you, his life is in you, his power is flowing in you, you're going to have some visible evidence that you belong to him. Now, what God is after is that to become bigger, more visible, more apparent. So it's more obvious. But if you are a living branch in Jesus Christ, there will be some evidence. Second, the branch bears the fruit, it does not produce it. The branch bears the fruit, it doesn't produce it. The branch exhibits the fruit. The branch makes the fruit visible. It attracts people to the plant, to the vine. The spiritual fruit that we bear exhibits, demonstrates the life of Christ. It brings attention to him. It enables someone else to see him more clearly. Third, fruit is for the benefit of others. This is the part we don't like. The branch doesn't get the fruit. The branch bears the fruit for the benefit of other people. The branch bears the fruit for other people to eat. The branch bears the fruit for other people to get and to eat and to be nourished. You are bearing spiritual fruit. That fruit is intended to nourish the spiritual hunger in other people, both unsaved as well as saved people. It's not for your benefit. Living abundantly is not about the branch. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about who? Christ. It's about what he does in our lives and through our lives for other people. Living abundantly is not about our personal comfort or satisfaction. It's not about what we have or don't have. It's not about having some spiritual experience. It's all about what the Holy Spirit produces in us for the benefit of spiritually hungry people and for the glory of Christ. The key to living abundantly is bearing fruit. And then the fourth element we need to understand about spiritual fruit is that it takes many forms. And as I said, that will be our study next week. Our second basic question has to do with what do people need in order to have a meaningful life? They need two things. They need to know who they are, and they need to know their purpose, why they're here. Who am I? Why am I here? Society tells you that you're a millennial or a baby boomer or whatever. Society tells you, okay, your purpose, you look in within yourself, deep within yourself, decide what you really want to do, and then work hard to achieve it, and you will achieve your purpose. I went to one of my granddaughter's high school graduation last June. The mascot of the high school was a spud. I'm not kidding, a potato. That was their mascot. It's kind of an angry looking potato, but so they were the Spudders. Okay, they were the sputters. The keynote for the message that night had to do with the kids being successful once they've graduated. And the speaker said basically two things. Number one, you are a sputter and you will always be a sputter. So that's who you are, be a sputter. And second, decide what you want to be, what you want to do, and give it your best effort and you will achieve it. Now, Christian, you don't have to buy books. You don't have to look in some book to find your purpose in life. You don't have to listen to somebody. The Holy Spirit tells us right here. Who are you? You are a branch in the vine. That's who you are. And what is your purpose? Is to bear spiritual fruit. You never have to wonder, who am I and why am I here? God saved you. God leaves you here for the purpose of bearing spiritual fruit. And so that leaves two questions that each of us must answer. The first one is this: am I a branch in the true vine? Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? He's the true vine. He's the only source of eternal life. If you've never done that, or if you have any doubts, God says to you right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's His promise. And if you've never done it, I'd invite you to do it right now. This is just between you and the Lord. It's not between you and somebody else. No big secret, no big formula to go through. Accept Him as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you say, well, I'm not sure I deserve it. You never will. You might say, well, you know, I haven't done anything to achieve it. You're never going to. You can never do enough. You can never deserve it. It's a gift of God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. If you've never accepted Him, I invite you to do it now. And I need to be honest with you. If you're not a branch in the true vine in Jesus Christ, you're a branch in what the Bible calls the vine of the earth. And that vine, the vine of the earth, is simply ripening for God's judgment. It's recorded for us in the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 17 begins. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one who has the power over fire, came out from the altar. And he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. You're either a branch in the true vine, which means you're headed to be with the Lord forever in heaven. Or you're a branch in the vine of the earth. And right now you're headed for eternal judgment. Today, the Lord Jesus invites you to become one of His branches. Believe in Him. Accept Him as your Savior. But the second question is to us believers. those who are already branches in the vine. And it's simply this: are you willing to be a branch? Not everyone is. Not every believer is willing to be a branch. Are you willing to live to give and not to get? Are you willing for Christ to work in and through you more and more for the benefit of other people? If so, tell him that. Yield yourself to him for the purpose of bearing fruit, for the purpose of fulfilling his purpose for you in your life. The key to living is bearing fruit. Two questions each of us must answer. Am I a branch in the true vine? And if I am, am I willing to be a branch? Let's take time. Let's pause right now and give each of us time to think, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and to give the Lord our answers before we participate in the Lord's Supper.